Joining us now is our friend John Davis. Of course, you catch him on pre-games on Sunday with Nate Jackson, and an opportunity to catch up with him. You can follow him on Twitter, JDavisD12. JD, how are you doing?
Doing all right. How are you guys doing?
All right. Probably doing a little better with this 2-0 Broncos team. Maybe that's the way we expected them to start. But let's go to the obvious. We haven't had a chance to talk to you about what we've seen from Teddy Bridgewater and how special that's really looked.
Yeah, it's been – I was one of those guys that thought he was checked down Teddy, that he wouldn't throw to the receivers, and he's made me look stupid. I mean, in my mind, through the first two games, he's been the main reason they've won.
Yeah.
He hasn't just been a game manager. He's, at times, been what kept the team going. The best player definitely on the offensive side of the ball, making plays off schedule, spreading the ball around, not just going to the running backs like everybody thought he would. He's been the leader. There's been toughness out there. Everything pre-snap. He's whatever Teddy was before. I mean, he was never terrible. He's taken another step. And I understand it hasn't been great teams that they've beat.
Yeah.
But he's essentially picked apart these defenses. He's yet to throw an interception. And really, some passes haven't been great. But I can't remember one pass that he's thrown that, like a lot of Drew Lock passes, that I was sitting there going, what was he even thinking with what he did there? So
right.
No.
Yeah, he's thrown some passes. I remember one to Noah Fant in the opener that he might have completed, didn't throw very well. In fact, he cited that pass himself after the game. But the fact of the matter is, he's the first Broncos quarterback to complete at least 75% of his passes in two consecutive games with a minimum of 20 pass attempts in each game since Peyton Manning. Weeks 4 and 5, 2013. That's 125 games ago.
So I was still in my 20s when he did that.
Yes,
I think. So
you were a mere pup at that time. What I wanted to ask you about, though, were some of the other factors. And I'll give you a choice of four, and you can tell me which of those four, none of which involve Bridgewater, are most important or critical to the Broncos having started 2-0. Patrick Sertan's performance the other day in his first NFL start. That's choice number one. Choice number two, Von Miller, 3 sacks, 2 games. Choice number three, the Gordon Williams running back tandem is being well deployed by Pat Shurmur / Mike Shula / Vic Fangio, unlike last year when Gordon and Philip Lindsay were both misused. And the fourth choice is Cortland Sutton's career game on Sunday with 9 catches and 159 yards. Which of those four do you think will be long-lasting and most impactful on the Broncos in the remaining 15 games, 16 weeks of the season?
I'm going to go with, they're all great, and I'm really interested to see where Pat Sertan goes, but I'm going with Von Miller for a couple reasons.
I would agree with you. Based on what we've seen the first 2 weeks, that's been the most important development.
Yeah, and it's because, for one, he's done it not really without, he hasn't had Brad, even when Bradley Chubb played, Chubb was ineffective. He's done it without Bradley Chubb. Von Miller, as we've seen Cortland Sutton have spots of greatness. We've seen it from Sertan one game. We've only seen this running back combo. They've all been great. But Von, we know over time, based on his history, he can wreck a game. He can take over a game. He can have big moments in games. So his ceiling, as we always talk about, we already know he's a Hall of Famer. But Von Miller's ability to scare his opponent, to keep the defense, the offensive coordinators up at night, he's still Von Miller. He's still got that capability. And he's playing hungry. We know what he can do. The other ones, I'm all excited about all of them, but I definitely think it's Von and what he's done so far.
We're talking to the fans, John Davis, on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. And speaking of Von Miller, starting this Sunday, he'll be missing not one, not two, but three of his fellow starters. The depth looks pretty good because Malik Reed was there last year. Pat Sertan, of course, we have already seen what he can do. The middle linebacker spot is going to be something of a question, but how close are we in a team that's had two very good defensive performances to needing to worry about this team's health on the defensive side of the ball?
I'm starting to get there. And luckily, they're playing the Jets this weekend. But, man, when they play Baltimore, And after what I saw Baltimore did last week, and that's when it gets a little scary. You know, Josie Jewell, you know, physically, size and speed, not the most impressive guy in the world, but he's smart and he's in position a lot.
Right.
And he was calling a lot of, you know, he's calling the defense.
Oh, yeah. He was the guy.
And he doesn't miss tackles either.
Yeah, he doesn't miss tackles. So he's a guy that always is going to belong in the NFL. And he's been there for a few years. And going back to that Giants game, he was there for the timely turnover that's been missing from this defense the past few years.
Great hit, so, along with Johnson in part, on Daniel Jones to force the key turnover in the game, which I thought was the turning point. The game was over at that point.
The Giants, had they scored,
would have been down only 3 points. Have they scored a touchdown?
Yeah. And that, those momentum swinging plays were missing in recent years. So the Jewel injury, that's what bothers me the most. Like you said, Malik Reed, he's not a guy anybody's circling when they play the Broncos, but he knows what he's doing out there. Darby will be back. Sertan, Sandy, you guys both had talked about it up that at some point we expected Sertan to start there anyway.
Yeah.
So Darby will be back. But the Jewel thing, yeah, no, he's not, you know, he's not Mike Singletary, but I think they're going to feel that a lot more than people realize right now.
When you look at the first two games, and obviously the third game as well, the opposition consists, I think, in the minds of most people, of three of the five worst teams in the National Football League. Then the schedule gets a little more interesting, starting with Baltimore. We are taking it on faith that the Broncos will win. The Jets might even be worse than Jacksonville and quite possibly worse than their fellow tenants, the Giants, in the Meadowlands. What do the Broncos have to show on Sunday to convince you that they could get to, goodness sakes, 4-0, maybe even 5-0?
To me, I mean, it's probably kind of an easy answer. They just have to outright dominate the Jets. I mean, really put a beating on them. It should never even look close because, I mean, they beat the Jets last year, but they almost threw the game away at the end. And the Jets were terrible last year. They almost threw the game away against the Patriots at the end of the game last year. When the Broncos won last year, they still never really looked good.
Yeah.
They have to go out and be in control this entire game. They have to really beat up on them. And here's what I want to see. And it's the one thing that's bothered me about this offense. And it goes back to the Rams preseason game. They are not scoring touchdowns until the second quarter. And when it happened in the preseason game, when they didn't have Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald and those guys out there, it happened last week against Jacksonville and the Giants. So it's taken until the end of the second quarter. This is a bad Jets team. They really need to score a touchdown probably on their first drive. The offense needs to start faster. As much as it's finishing night well, and the offense has looked fine leading up to those first touchdowns in the first two games, but they need to get to the end zone quicker because you have to get off. When you're playing Baltimore and Kansas City and Pittsburgh, you can't wait till the end of the second quarter to score a touchdown. So against the Jets, I want to see them build that habit of scoring on one of their first two drives and having it be a touchdown.
So what you are saying is that you are expecting a beatdown of biblical proportions on Sunday. That's what you expect to see. That's what you think should be expected.
Yeah, that's what I think we absolutely should expect from them. This is a bad football team. This is a guy that threw four interceptions at quarterback last week. Now, usually
on his first 10 throws.
No, first 10 throws, he throws four picks, and I don't know if we're going to get that out of him. But our defense, I don't think New England's got some defense that's just way better than the Denver Broncos defense. So they should really, this kid should have no room to throw, and he should have nobody to throw to. And the offense should be able to move the ball up and down the field at will. Biblical proportions, I don't know if the Broncos have earned that based on recent memory. But based on what the Jets did to the Vance Joseph Broncos up in New York a few years ago, I think the Broncos owe them a beatdown this year.
He is John Davis. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at JDavisD12. And, of course, catch him on pregame on Sundays right here on The Fan. And you'll, of course, hear him all over the station. Thanks for the time, my friend.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, fellas.
All right. Thanks, John Davis, on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline.